How do we check up on our progress? Okay, so we're gonna learn about that. We're gonna talk about moving forward, and I'm gonna give you some principles about moving forward in your life, and this is going to go in anything, not just in your giving, but in anything, and we'll get to that in a moment. But our call is to move forward. We are to constantly be moving as Christians. We are to be moving in the direction the Lord has for us. We are to be growing. We are to be learning more. We are to be walking with the Lord. We are to be progressing in our walk with the Lord. And how many realize that to progress with the Lord may not always look like progression on the exterior? Progress with the Lord is not measured by the outcomes you see on the exterior. Progress with the Lord depends on you being obedient to Him, and He will take you the direction you need to go. Sometimes the direction He wants to lead you, the progress He wants to bring you through, doesn't seem like the quickest point from point A to point B. If you don't believe me, ask Moses and the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, and we're going to look at that in just a little bit tonight, but when they left Egypt, there would have been a much quicker and a much easier route that they could have taken that would have directed them straight out of Egypt, straight to the promised land. But that was not God's plan, because God knew what they needed, and God knew how to protect them, and God knew how to prepare them. And so progress for them, if you would have been looking from the outside in, or when we look back upon the route that they took, progress for them seemed very discombobulated. It seemed all out of sorts, because they're moving the wrong direction and away from the promised land and around. And then they're circling a mountain for a number of time. And then finally they're going to move in. But progress with the Lord is not measured by what you're seeing on the exterior. You've got to understand that. That's not progress with the Lord. A lot of people think, well, I'm not growing, I'm not progressing. And they say that because they're not seeing what they thought they should be seeing on the exterior. So the first thing you need to understand as we begin this study tonight is you can't look with outward eyes, with exterior vision, and determine whether you are progressing with the Lord or not. Progressing with the Lord is first inward, and then it will begin to move outward. But the good thing is, if you're obedient to the Lord and you just keep walking with Him, in His time, in His moment, you will find that He has taken you from point A to point B, and it is the perfect plan that needed to happen. So I want you to get that in your mind, and I want you to just contemplate that a little bit as we walk through this. We're going to be reading a scripture that's going to deal with giving. But I want you to look beyond the giving aspect of it, and I want you to look with me at the process of their progression to their giving. There was a process that they had to progress through in order to get to the moment of giving. And there is a process that every one of us are walking in our life. How many of you know we are all lives in process? None of us have made it yet. The Apostle Paul himself said, I do not count myself as one who has apprehended. I haven't made it yet. He said that to the church at Philippi. He's writing to them and he said, I don't count myself as apprehending, but I'm still pressing forward. I'm still pressing to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm forgetting those things that are behind and I'm pressing forward to what is ahead of me. And so we are all people that are in process. And so the important thing to remember, if you are a person in process, is that the process will work if you will just remain faithful to the one whose plan you are following. So the key to progressing in the process is trusting the right plan. Amen. Have you ever felt like you're living life with no plan? Right? Sometimes that happens. No plan, no direction. That can be a frustrating time in life. That can be a when we are living life and there doesn't seem to be a plan, it can be difficult. Now what happens is it doesn't seem like there's a plan because maybe we don't have a plan. But here's what you need to understand as a child of God. God has a plan. And so you don't ever have to live without a plan. You can trust His plan, but His plan may not be your plan. Amen. So we are in process, so I want you to understand that. Let's read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. It says, moreover, brethren, he's talking to the church at Corinth, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So he's talking to Corinth about the churches of Macedonia. Okay, and he's going to talk to the church at Corinth about what Macedonia churches are doing. And the Macedonian churches are facing hardship and difficulty, and they're facing financial ruin, and they're facing all sorts of struggles. Okay, so here's what he says in verse 2. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of the Macedonian church's joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So in the midst of their hard trials and deep poverty, they are able to show forth the grace of God with liberality. They're able to give beyond their means. And so Paul is bragging on the Macedonian churches to the church at Corinth. Verse 3, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing to give. And they implored us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So they wanted to collect money for the Jerusalem church that was hurting, even though they themselves were hurting, but they were adamant they wanted to be a part of the relief effort. And Paul seems to have been instructing them, no, you're suffering enough. You don't have to, but they implored them, is what Paul says. We want to be a part of this. We want to give the gift. We want you to receive our gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Okay? Verse 5, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, then to us by the will of God. So, we urge Titus, Paul says, that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you, Corinth, as well. So we sent Titus with this great story to encourage you. Okay? But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace of giving also. So you need to keep progressing. Even though you are abounding in faith and speech and knowledge and diligence and love for us, there's still a progression that needs to take place. There's still an element in your process that you're still learning. And the Macedonian church is going to be able to teach you something. And so now we're wanting you to get involved in this grace of giving. Okay, so do you see, he's telling them you're not there yet. There's still more that God wants to bring out of you. So you're progressing, so you've got to keep going, okay? Verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage, not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago. So they had a desire in their heart a year ago to do something, but they had not done it yet. So they had a good intention, but they had not acted on the good intention. Verse 11, but now you also must complete the doing of it. See the progress? Not enough to just have a good desire, you need to complete it. God never wants you to just rest on your laurels. He never wants you to just stay where you are. He's always asking you to continue to go forward. Now you need to complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Now, I want to talk to you about checking up on your progress, measuring your progress, moving forward. I find four things in this setting of Scripture, that four concepts that we can apply to check our progress about anything in our life, to make sure that we are moving forward, to make sure there are things happening that are leading us in a progression that God would have for us. And so the question we are going to answer tonight is, how do I make sure I am moving forward? How do I make sure I am moving forward? I'm going to submit to you tonight that if you will follow these four checkpoints, if you will continue to look at this and continue to keep this in your mind and ask, are these things happening? Then the answer to that, to the question is, you can know you are moving forward in Christ. If you can follow these four checkpoints and you can find out what it is that God is doing. So I'm just going to give these to you. We're going to look here and we're going to go back. If you want to turn in your Bible, put your finger there. We're also going to go back into the book of Exodus. And we're going to find some of the same principles. Starting right here, 2 Corinthians 8. Four things. How do I make sure I'm moving forward? By following this checklist, then you can know you're moving forward in Christ. Here we are. And this can go for anything in your life, anything you're needing to do, the next step, the thing that's ahead of you, the ideas that are in your mind, the situations that you're finding, the life situations that are rising up, then you've got to be able to check to make sure you're moving forward with God in every aspect of your life. Number one, there needs to be a moment of decision to invest. A moment of decision to invest in God's plan. Okay. So the first concept is there has to be a decision. So what are you saying, Pastor? Well, look with me here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. And in this I give advice, it is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you must complete the doing of it. So the first thing that they had before they could give is they have to make a decision to invest in God's work, in God's will. Amen. Anything in your life, anything you're facing, in order to make sure that you're progressing the way God wants you to progress in this situation of life, the first question you have to come across is, have I made a decision that I'm going to find ways in my process to invest in God's will? So in whatever way that hits you, whatever thing you're facing, whatever questions you have, whatever's going on in your life right now, the first decision you need to make to ensure you're going to progress with God through this process is you have to determine that whatever's going on, I'm going to invest and make a decision to invest in God's plan and His will for my life. Amen. You got to make that decision. That's got to be checkpoint number one. Here's the statement that came to my mind. You've got to get out of your will so you can get into His will. You have to get out of your will. So in order to make a decision to invest in God's will and God's plan, you have to step out of your will. How many of you know sometimes your will gets in the way of God's will? What you want sometimes gets in the way of what God desires. And so therefore, you come to a moment of decision. When dealing with the will of God, there will always be points of decision. And the decision is, will I stay in my will or will I step into God's will? Will I keep going down my path or the path that others have laid for me or the path that the enemy has laid, or will I choose to follow God's will? Will I leave my will and plan and step into God's will and plan? So on this journey to make sure you keep progressing with God, you have to continually ask yourself, am I willing to get out of my will if it doesn't line up with God's will? Now, if your will lines up with His, then you continue to go. But you first must settle this decision. How many of you realize that the more you keep trying to press in your will, the longer it takes you to get to God's will, if they're not the same? Israel learned that the hard way. They kept trying to do things their way when they came out of Egypt, and it took them a whole lot longer than it should, cost them a whole lot of people, and a whole generation of people never saw the promised land because they could never decide to follow God's will over their will. A lot of Christians, they quit progressing with the Lord. They quit growing in the Lord. They quit making good decisions. They bring hardship into their life because they will not follow this simple principle of getting out of your will and making a conscious decision that whatever it takes, I'm going to follow your will, Lord. Amen. That's number one. And you have to be willing to do that. There are times in your life that you have to stop and you have to see what God is doing. Amen. And I can already hear some of you in your minds thinking, but my situation, I can't stop right now. I've done this and done that and done this. I can't stop. Well, sometimes you're much better off to stop all that you've been doing and find out what God's will is before you keep pressing forward. Because if you don't do that, you're going to cost yourself time and money and desire and heart and relationships and everything else, promises and everything else, because you just keep trudging away rather than stopping and finding out, okay, God, what is it that you're trying to say to me? Amen. Well, let's look at something. Go with me to the book of Exodus, the third chapter of the book of Exodus. How many remember Moses? You remember him? The baby born as the Savior. Yeah. Yeah. Not personally, is that what you said? Yeah, a little before our time. He was the one that all the male children were being killed, and he was preserved and put into the ark of bulrushes, and miracle of miracles. He ended up in the palace. Pharaoh's daughter took him in, raised him up in the palace, and things were going great for his life. But God had raised him up to be a deliverer. And Moses tried to do it his way. He saw two Israelites fighting, and he said, hey, my brothers, don't do that. And he got mad and ended up killing a man, and it was a whole wild story. And he runs for his life to the backside of the desert, and for 40 years he's out there tending sheep with a call of God on his life. And in Exodus chapter 3, he was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the Mount of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, and the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. What caught his attention was not a burning bush. Moses had been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. He had seen many burning bushes in the desert. That was a common occurrence in the desert, that the bush would burn. What caught his attention is it wouldn't burn up. Something was different about this one in that he's seen bushes burn. He's seen fires in the desert, and he's seen it dwindle down and the bush die out, and it just consumed it. But this one continues to burn. And Moses says something that catches me in verse number 3 when he said, and here he is, he's hardened, he's doing his work, his way, he's tending sheep, he's seen this many times before, he's been doing things the way he tried to do them and messed up, and now he's been tending sheep and doing these things, but all of a sudden he sees a sight, and he takes long enough to look at it to say, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Now, I'm not going to talk about what happened from there so much, but what happened from there? God speaks to him out of that bush, calls him to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That's the beginning of the deliverance of Israel from out of Egypt. But here's what I want you to focus on. Sometimes you have to stop and see what God is doing. Okay? That's how you know you're progressing. Let me say this. If you can't stop long enough to see what God is doing, you will never progress any farther with Him. If you can't stop what you're doing long enough to see what God is doing, you will never progress any farther than that in your walk with the Lord. Have you ever known Christians that to your eyes, and we're not judging because we're not their judge, but seem like they have never progressed? Or they reach a point and then it's like they never progress from there. Let me tell you why. Because they won't stop what they're doing long enough to see what God's doing. That right there is a good thought if you'll catch it. Sometimes we need to stop all of our activity and we need to wait on the Lord. Do you know if you're feeling weary? Do you know what the Bible tells you to do? Wait on the Lord. Well, I can't do that. I've got things to do. I've got to make sure this happens. I got to make, well, then you won't progress with the Lord. You'll just keep being weary. It's that simple. Well, I don't have time, Pastor. I can't. Yeah, you have time. God will make time for you. If you will wait on the Lord, if you'll say, okay, hold on, I've been doing this so long with not really good results, maybe I need to stop for a minute and see what God might be up to. Right? And a good way to know that it's time to stop and see what God is doing is when you're so weary, you're sick of doing what you're doing. Amen. Right? That's a good time to say, you know what, this isn't working. And like the general in the Civil War that told his soldiers, if the horse is dead, dismount. Get off of it. It's not going to happen. You can beat it all day long. It's not going another step. You're just going to keep wasting your time. And it's because we're not making a decision to stop what we're doing and see what God is doing. So number one, you got to do that. Do you know Jesus in the garden did that? He stopped the activity that would change eternity. The march from the upper room, the Lord's Supper, the night they spent together, the teaching and the training, and the march from there out to the garden to pray, into the Pilate's court, and in before the Jewish leaders, and to the cross that would save man forever. And right in the midst of that, Jesus stopped and said, hold on, I'm doing all this, but there's something I must do. He said, watch with me while I pray. And the disciples went to sleep. But Jesus was praying, and you know what he was praying? Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it, but not my will, your will be done. Amen. He's stopping. And the progress seems to stop, but really it's continuing because he's making sure he's out of his will and in the Father's will. Amen. I just believe if Jesus can take time to stop saving the world long enough to get out of his will and into God's will, you can stop for a few moments what your little thing is and find out what God's doing. Now, if you're saving the world, maybe you can argue with me. But I don't think any of you are. So you have time to stop what you're doing and find out what God's doing. Amen. You got to. Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. Remember that story? He had this thing that kept. And the Bible tells us, and people have debated over for years what it was. Was it his eyesight? Was it sickness everywhere he went? Was it weakness? But he said, there's been this thorn in the flesh. Give me this messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. That's what the word says. And do you know everywhere Paul went? They said he had bad eyes. I'm sure he did. He couldn't write a lot of his writings. He had people that would write for him. He was not the most intimidating man to look at. But I personally believe the thorn in the flesh was exactly what Paul says it was. I personally believe that the thorn in the flesh was everywhere he went, every city he went to, everywhere he went. He was met with opposition. He was run out of that city. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison. He was in shipwrecks. He was in famines. He was in peril of sea and peril of land. Everywhere he went, Satan was fighting against him. And he prayed and he said, Lord, let it be taken from me. I got stuff to do. I can do it much better without all this opposition, God. Remove it from me. And he said he prayed that, but after praying that on these occasions, the Lord says to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So he didn't ask that anymore. He stopped long enough to find God's will, and then he said, okay, then I'm doing your will. See, in order to progress, in order to keep going, in order to keep moving, you have to make a decision to invest in God's will and to get out of your will if necessary. And that point number one gets most of us. Because the hardest thing you can do is get out of your will. To get out of your plan. To lay down all the things that you had in mind. How many of you parents have had kids that have now been raised and they went off on their own? Yeah, there you go. We got some excitement there. I've had more amens there than anywhere. But how many of you have seen those kids not do everything you had planned for them to do? They didn't follow the path that you had laid out and worked all your life for them to follow. I mean, you set it all up. And you ensured that they would go the way you wanted them to go, only to find out when they got out on their own, by all means, they had their own desires. Right? I can't believe that. They didn't want to do what mom and dad wanted them to do. What mom and dad pushed them to do. What mom and dad tried to make them do. But they had a will of their own. Amen? We've come against that. That's what it's like in the natural. But for God, that's how we are. We run out and God's got a plan for us, but we're these teenage kids that think we're all grown and can attack the world now, and we go out and do our own thing, and God says, hang on, my plan's better. Now, you're earthly parents, so your plan's not always better, okay? But God's plans are better, and if we will submit to Him, so that's got to be number one. So you got to get that in your mind. That's the first checkpoint. If you can't get that checkpoint, you can't move forward. That's got to be number one. Number two, here's number two. Not only do you have to get out of your will, so there's a moment of decision to invest in God's will, then there has to be a leaving of your current place for a new opportunity. Okay, watch this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. He had told them in verse 11, now you must also complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion of what you have. Okay, so you got to get out of your will, but then you find God's will and you make a moment to a decision to invest in his will. But then you've got to get out of your mind. Now, careful with that. Some people take that too literally. But you got to get out of your thoughts, out of your way of thinking. Again, that's trying to put God's will back into your plan. So what he said, okay, you made a decision to give over a year ago. You made a moment, a decision to invest in God's will and God's plan, but you haven't done it yet. All you're doing is you're thinking about it. And you keep running it over in your mind, and you keep coming up with reasons why you can't do it. So if you're going to progress with the Lord, not only do you have to get out of your will, but you have to leave your current situation, and you have to be willing to step outside of your mind, of your thinking. Quit putting your thoughts on God's plan. How many know God's plan plus your thoughts about God's plan very rarely equals faith? God's plan plus your thoughts normally equals doubt or unbelief. Because God's ways are higher than yours. God's ways are not yours. So if you try to put your thoughts on His ways, and they're higher than yours, you don't understand it, and then doubt comes in. So I don't know why Corinth hadn't given yet. I don't know what their reason was. I don't know if they were still trying to collect, or if they had fallen on hard times, or maybe some of their big givers had left the church, and they had over-promised an amount that now they didn't feel like they could. I don't know what they were doing, but for some reason, a year after making a decision to invest in God's will, they still were just thinking about it. Come on now. How many of you have you ever experienced God's will in your life, and then you've thought about it so long that you missed it? I'll raise my hand up real high. There I am on the journey. I'll just be blatantly honest with you. That's the hardest part of this checklist for me, is to get out of my mind, out of my thoughts about God's will, because I'll think it to death. Come on. Any of y'all like me? People pointing at other people here, I say it. I'll 6 ways from Sunday, I'm figuring it all out. Veronica, I've said this to you before, but she'll tell me every now and then, does God need to just hit you upside the head to get you to do something? And I say, yes, I wish he would. That would be excellent if he would do that. I would gladly take the knock on the head if it would propel me to quit thinking about it so much that I don't do it. God will give me vision and concepts, and I'll think about them, and I'll absorb it, and I'll think about how it could happen, and how great it would be if I could just do this and that, and now if I can add this, and if I can add that, and then 2 years later, I still have done nothing with what God's vision was. I've thought about it. I've got notebooks full about it. I've got wadded up papers in my trash can that I've already thrown away with plans implemented, and no, there's got to be a better way to do it. Come on, I'm just sharing with you my weakness. I don't know if that's yours or not, but that's something I struggle with. And apparently some there at the Church of Corinth were struggling with that, because a year later, they've not given. They signed the faith pledge when the missionary came along, and a year later, they haven't given their pledge. We don't know why, but maybe they were thinking about it so much. You gotta step out of your thoughts about God's will. So to check yourself, you have to make sure that you invest in His will and get out of your will. So that's the first step. You have to lay your will down, but you can't stop there. The next one is, then you have to quit thinking all your thoughts all the time about His will. Thinking all your thoughts of how you can improve His will. Have you ever discovered that really you can't improve on God's plan? And sometimes you just have to step by faith and you find out God's plan was there all along. Amen. Okay. Well, you don't believe me. Some of you looked at me like you're not sure about that. Well, let's look at a couple things. Go back with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 5. Exodus 5, verse number 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Here's the thing. God wanted them out of Egypt, but it took quite a while to get Moses to go in and say, "We're getting out of Egypt." If you want to keep progressing with God, you have to get out of Egypt. It can't just be a plan. You got to get out. Amen. You got to follow God. That made no sense. Do you know that's not a real good plan? If I'm looking at that, I could have done a whole lot better than that plan. Now, we would have all still been in Egypt. With notebooks full of good plans to get out. Definitely is. Yes. That's exactly right. This is just the beginning of going. But there was a lot that had led up to this. Moses said, "I can't speak." Moses said, well, "Who am I going to tell them sent me?" God said, "You tell them I am that I am." Well, that wasn't very good either. I'm just telling you, when I read the Bible, I say, "Who do I say sent me?" And I hear God say, "You just tell them I am that I am." And I said, "What? Who?" If I don't even understand that, what in the world is Pharaoh going to think about that? Amen. I don't want to go too far with that, but you understand. And so God, he said, "I can't talk." So God said, "I'll send you Aaron." "Who do I say sent me?" "You tell him I sent it. Well, I don't have the power." "What's in your hand?" I'll show you some signs and wonders that you're going to... I mean, Moses kept having thoughts about God's plan. And he kept holding off and he kept hindering himself. And that's what we do. So if you're going to check your progress with the Lord, you got to get out of your will and invest in His. And then you got to get out of your thought process and out of your mind. And you got to take on the mind of Christ. And that is a mind of faith. Peter had to get out of the boat to walk on water. The plan was to walk on water, but he had to get out of the boat. Jesus said, come on. The first thing he had to do is invest in his will. I would have never asked to come. But Peter did. Thought would have never crossed my mind. Hey, Jesus, that's really cool. Call me to walk on water. And Peter did. He invested in God's will, got out of his will. But then Jesus, of all things, said, well, come on. Now the gauntlet's laid down. And so now, Peter is either going to get out and walk or he's going to think about all the reasons why he can't walk. How many know it's real easy to be a faith person until God calls you on your faith? No, you didn't hear me. Some of you have said over the years, well, if I just win the lottery, I'd give large portions. Well, let me say this to you. Someday, God might call you on your, he might challenge you on that, and then what are you going to do? Let me say this, if you're not faithful to give to him now, you won't be then. Amen. That's just my two cents. Amen. He had to get out of the boat if he's going to walk on water. The plan was walking on water, but he had to get out of the boat, and you know getting out of the boat meant getting out of his mind, because I guarantee you, the rest of those jokers in the boat were telling him, don't do it, Peter. That's crazy. Yeah, you can't do that. That's crazy. We can't walk on water. Jesus can, but we can't. He had to get out of his mind. He had to get out of his thoughts. Amen. Jesus would say, come and follow me. He would say, let the dead bury their dead. Your excuses for not following him or not doing his will. Jesus said, you come up with all these excuses. Elijah called Elisha and said, come follow me, because God had called him. And Elisha said, well, let me first go say goodbye to my parents. And Elijah said, what do I have to do with you? You just do your own thing. If you're going to think about it too much, then you don't need to be going anyway. Amen. So you got to leave your nets. Jesus called the fishermen, James and John, Peter and Andrew, to follow him. And what do? They leave their nets. They left their business. They left their father. They left their money to follow this guy that nobody really knew who he was. You got to get out of your mind. Number three. We find number three in 2 Corinthians 8:13. 2 Corinthians 8:13. Here's what it says. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. Here we go. To progress with God, the third thing on your checklist needs to be, there is a release of the seed that will produce what is needed. There's a release. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened. Now that means they have to give it. I'll see that there. Now he's telling me, when he says, I don't mean that they're going to be eased and you burdened, but what he's saying is, you got to get it out of your hand so that they can receive it. And I'm not saying that so that you'll be burdened and they'll be eased. I'm saying that because until you get it out of your hand, I can't get into your hands the things I need to. You got to release the seed to produce what is needed. You got to get it out of your hand. It's the checklist. I got to get out of my will into his will, invest in his. I got to get out of my mind, my thought processes about his will. I got to have faith. And then I got to get it out of my hands. Have you ever discovered that the best thing for anything in your life is to get it out of your hands and into God's hands? The quicker you can release it, the quicker God can produce with what it's supposed to produce. So in your life, you're progressing, your family. Maybe you're laboring over family members that aren't saved. Well, go through the checklist. Get out of your will and into His will. Get out of your thoughts. Just step by faith as He leads you. And get it out of your hands. Release your burden. Amen? See, if we can't release the things that we're holding, then He can't bring to us the things that we need. If you continue to hold on to what you need to be giving to God, He'll never be able to give you what you need so that you can keep progressing with Him. So you got to get it out of your hands now. You have to release it. And in order to get it out of your hands, you need to know what's in your hands. We could go back to Exodus chapter 4. Moses is debating with God. And he said, how am I going to do this, God? I'm just one man. I can't do this. And God says to him, what's in your hands? Well, I have a staff. I have a stick. Well, throw that down. Release that. And when he threw it down, it turns into a serpent. Seems like an odd story, but what God's showing him is this: when you get it out of your hands, I can produce for you what's going to be needed. You know why that was important? He said, now pick it up again. When he went to pick it up again, it turned back into a staff. You know why that was important? Because later on we find out in front of Pharaoh, God told him to do it. He threw it down, and it turned into a serpent, and the magicians of Pharaoh imitated the same thing. But the serpent God had made ate up their serpents. God was saying to Moses, here's the thing. If you'll just get it out of your hands, I'll provide everything that's needed. I've given you what you need, but when I ask for it, you've got to release it so I can give you what's next. See, you've done some things on your journey, but now you got to get those things out of your hands. Amen. Because they're cluttering up the path now. You're still holding on to them, and you'll still want to try to use those things. Amen. You'll still want to try to use those things to make other things happen. God said, no, you got to get that out of your hands so I can use it, and then I'll give back to you what you need. When Moses releases it, it turns into a serpent. When he picks it back up, God used it to show Pharaoh he's more powerful than his gods. And then when he picks it back up, it turns back into a staff, because that's what he's going to need when he comes to the Red Sea. But you got to get it out of your hands. Some of you need to release some things in your life out of your hands. You're choking the plan of God because it's all in your hands. It's all on your plate. It's all in your corner. You're taking all the blame for why something's not happening, and God is saying, just get it out of your hands, release it. I believe I read somewhere where a really smart person said, cast all your cares on me because I care for you. And I remember another place where it's recorded that our Savior says, come unto me, you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. If you're going to progress with God, you've got to release what's in your hands, so God can meet your needs. Because as long as you keep trying to work it out, you're limiting what God can bring into your life. And the fourth thing, and we'll close. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 14 and 15. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, so that at the right time their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who had gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. There needs to be a worshipful heart that's expressed through expectation of God's provision. You need to be expecting that God will provide for your needs. Notice what Paul said to them. You're giving now out of your abundance to provide for their lack. But when you give what you have and there's need in your life, you can expect that out of their abundance they're going to give to your need. There needs to be expectation, and there needs to be a worshipful heart. where you're turning to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I know you're in control of this. And so even if you ask of me some hard things, I'm going to worship you and I'm going to believe you for returning all that I have need of. And here's what you got to do. You got to get it out of your heart. And you got to give it to God. Expect God has a better way. Expect God's going to do new things. Expect God is going to take you to new places. Expect God's going to bring the answers that you're desiring. And be worshipful. Have expectation about that. And release that out of your heart. Don't hold it in your heart. Release it and let the joy of the Lord and the expectation of God's goodness replace what you're letting go of. Amen. Do you know some people give things, but they continue to hold on to them in their heart? You know what that's called? That's called giving with strings attached. Amen. They're giving, but they're holding on to it in their heart. We do that with God sometimes. We go ahead and do whatever it is that we're needing to do, but we're still holding on in our heart to our ways, our thoughts, our plans, our ideas, and therefore we're still blocking God's path. You got to release it out of your heart. God says forgive. If you want to progress with God, you got to get out of your will. You got to say, what is God's will? His will is forgive. Then you got to get out of your thoughts that would say, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. Oh, well, if I forgive, then they're going to think it was okay. You got to get past your thoughts and Then you got to release it. You got to forgive. But then you have to get it out of your heart and expect God is going to bring some new stuff to you now. Amen. The door's before you and maybe God's challenging you to a new employment. You got to get out of your will, out of your mind, your thoughts. You got to at some point release. But then you can't keep holding that in your heart. And then at the first sign of trouble at the place you believe God led you to, the first sign of trouble, you said, I knew I shouldn't have done that. You know what happened? You were still holding that other job in your heart. Right? And you can't progress that way. When you go with all your heart. When you give with all your heart. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. You release your heart. You get it out of your heart, and you turn it over to God, right? When we were pastoring at the church of Shoto, God blessed us those 4.5 years, and we saw great things, and church had grown like that. Church had never grown. That little community, we were having an impact in that little community, and God called us to come here. We had to get out of our will. We had to get out of our thoughts. We had to release and say, okay, we're going. We had to do it. But then wisdom, men of wisdom and people of years of ministry talked to me in the process about, now you have to release that assignment out of your heart. Or else when you go to the next place, you'll always be comparing where you're going with where you were. And God has completely different things where you're going than where you were. But if you hold it in your heart, you'll never progress. Amen? How many know that's true? We still love those people. We still love that church. But when we left Shoto, we left Shoto. We didn't try to hold on. And when they started going through rough times there, the pastors that followed us, they would call us. And I would just point them to their pastor, cordially talk with them, and then move forward because I had to release it. Amen. If you're going to progress with God, you've got to learn to release things out of your heart. And you can't evaluate where God takes you with where you've been. I mean, I hope this helps you. I hope that you hear it and it helps you. And we're going to pray. But Israel had a Passover plan God gave them. Said, kill the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost. when you go out, you celebrate it. You remember, I brought you out of Egypt. Get Egypt out of your heart. They had a hard time with that in the wilderness. When they would get hungry, they would say, we'd be better off back in Egypt. Back in bondage. When they got thirsty, when there was no water, they complained and they said, you brought us out here to the desert to kill us. We'd been better off in Egypt. They treated us good. They forgot what they were doing to them in Egypt. Because Egypt was still in their heart. And a whole generation that could never get Egypt out of their heart never made it to the promised land. Because you can't progress to the next thing with the last thing still in your heart. Amen. The checklist. We'll close with it again. You've got to be a moment of decision to invest in God's will, so you've got to get out of your will. Then there has to be a leaving of your current situation for the new opportunity. You have to get out of your mind. You've got to get out of your thoughts now about God's will. You have to act by faith. Then there has to be a release of whatever's in your hands so that it can produce what is needed. You have to now act. You have to get it out of your hand. And then finally, you have to start expecting God's plan to move in your life now, and you got to get the past out of your heart. And if you'll do that, if you'll walk down that checklist with every decision in your life and everything you come up against, you can be resting assured that you will continue to progress in your walk with Christ. Stand to your feet with me.